Matthew chapter 3. Today I would like to talk to you about two men who are documented in the Bible. Recently God brought this comparison to mind, and I thought the analysis of them was very interesting. It is my intention to trace their paths from the beginning of their Christian profession to the time of Jesus' death. I would like you to take notice of the great similarities between them. I would especially like for you to notice the core difference which separates them. And perhaps we shall glean some precious truths along the way. And so I want to speak to you what I've entitled, A Tale of Two Men. This will be a topical message. I've invited you to turn to Matthew chapter 3. And so we'll begin there in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and those who are able to be here today. And we pray for those who are not able to be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance, that, Lord, you'd heal the sick and be with those who are traveling. And, God, just meet every need of every heart. As we come here today to worship in spirit and in truth, we just honor you, we praise you. And, Lord, we ask that you would save the lost today, convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. And may we who are saved worship you. And so, Lord, may we just leave today rejoicing because we've been able to come together in your house. So we commit this time to you today. I ask that you'd speak through me and use me. And I pray that you'd give listening ears and open hearts and minds that the word may be receptive and that you would touch every soul today. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of my message is A Tale of Two Men. Now, the two men I would like to compare and contrast are Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. These both were Jewish men who experienced the same societal issues, problems, and pressures. They no doubt both had attended synagogue worship. They both had interest in spiritual things to some degree. Now, the first thing I would like to bring to your attention is that both were apostles. Thus, they were followers of John. And so I'm going to read to you out of the book of Acts, but in Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 through verse 22, the first part of that verse, we have a discussion there in the text wherein they were going to elect a replacement for Judas because he fell from his apostleship. And this is what it says, because I said to you that they were both followers of John, and you might say, well, how do you know that Judas was a follower of John? Listen. Of the requirements for a replacement apostle, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. And of course it goes on to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But one of the requirements for a person to become an apostle is that they had to have, began with the baptism of John. And then they followed John, and then they transferred and followed after Jesus. Therefore, as we see these two guys shake down, we have to understand that these men were began with following John the Baptist. Therefore, I've asked you to be in Matthew chapter 3, and we wanted to see a little bit about what John preached. And so you can get an idea of these guys, and they both share this same experience being followers of John. In John Matthew chapter 3, in verse 1 and verse 2, we see very clearly that John preached repentance. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message very early on was repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The apostles preached repentance. The message of the scripture is repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That still should be the message today. Well, that began with John as he came preaching repentance. Book of Mark chapter 1 verse 4 says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now I understand that some people misunderstand some of these verses and that they'll say, well, baptism is what brings about your conversion and that's what brings about your repentance. It's not that at all, my friends. The baptism which John performed was evidence of the repentance of which they had already confessed. And we'll see this as we go through the book of Matthew chapter 3 for just a few moments here. But understand that John preached repentance. That's what Judas heard. That's what Peter heard. They knew about repentance. In verse 3, John was preparing the way for Jesus. It says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The whole purpose for John coming was to be a light to the main light, to prepare a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you look into verse 5 through verse 8, again, John baptizes those who are converts, and it says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." And notice that they confessed their sins. Those people who came to him and said, "We believe what you're saying, we believe the message that you're giving to us, and we do repent. We confess our sins." That's a message that Judas Iscariot would have heard. That's a message that Peter, Simon Peter, had also heard. Why? Because they had been followers of John. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. And so John baptized the converts. And if you look in those verses in between there, the Pharisees come out and they say, well, you know what? They come out to the baptism and John says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And John challenges them in verse 8, "Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." And so what it is, he's telling them, you might want to come out and get baptized, but if you don't really repent and you don't demonstrate that, there's no reason to baptize you. You see, the baptism doesn't bring about repentance. The baptism showed that they had repented. They had confessed their sins, and then they were baptized. Just as it is today, we're baptized not because we're not in order to be saved, but we're baptized because we are saved. And we show forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Judas, and Peter would have known that. And then, of course, as we follow through in John's ministry here, look down in verse 11, still in Matthew chapter 3. What he's doing is John's doing his task. He's pointing to Jesus. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Turn over to the book of John, chapter 1. You see, the ministry of John was to point to Jesus, and that's exactly what he's saying here. He says, there's one that's going to come after me. And so if you pick up some of the expression that the book of John lists for us in John chapter 1, you find that very thing in verse 29 and verse 30, where it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And so what we read in Matthew where he said, "This is what I do, this is what I'm pointing you to," when Jesus shows up to be baptized of him, he says, "He's the Lamb of God, and this is the one I have been talking about." And so you'll look down into verse 35 of John chapter 1, it says, "Again the next day after Jesus was baptized, John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." What was John doing? Exactly what he was supposed to do. He was preparing a way for Jesus Christ, and he pointed to Jesus and said, "This is the Lamb of God. He is the one. He is the one who is preferred." So you have to keep in mind as we think about Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter that both of these guys followed after John. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. And they knew about repentance. They knew about Jesus. They knew about that Jesus had come and been baptized. They knew a great deal of things. The second thing that we see about these guys is that both of these had turned and followed after Jesus. Now, the first point was to demonstrate that they were followers of John. Now they become followers of Jesus. Now, the thing is, in the Scripture, we only have the account of that of Peter. You're still there in John chapter 1. We left off reading there in verse 36, but skip down to verse 40. Down in verse 40 it says of John 1 how that Andrew heard and then he went and found Peter. Okay, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." So he heard John say, "This is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He heard this. "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." So what happens here? They're followers of John. And Andrew happens to be there. Peter's not right there at hand. And John says, "There's Jesus." And Andrew picks up on that, understands that. He goes, finds Peter, and he says, "We found the Messiah." Note their understanding of the Messiah, the anointed one who was to come. They knew it wasn't John. They knew it was the one whom John pointed out. And so if you turn over to Luke chapter 5 as a reference, very simply what you find is, and you know it to be true if you read the rest of the passage in John, one that Peter comes to Jesus and Jesus speaks to him and all that, that what it really boils down to is Peter became a follower of Jesus and was a disciple of Jesus. Now, I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 5. And I just want you to consider these two groups here that's mentioned in Luke chapter 5. And it says in verse 33, "They said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" What do you have? You see two divisions. You have people who are disciples of John and disciples of Jesus. Now, at the beginning, when John came to prepare the way, Andrew, Simon Peter, Judas, those kind of people, they were following after John. That's what they were doing. But then, when John was doing his job pointing out Jesus, what happened? They transferred. They changed from following after John to following after Jesus. Now, even though I've given you just the biblical record of Peter, that had to be true for Judas, because they're very similar, and they're apostles. And so if Judas wasn't baptized by John and a follower of John, he would have never been an apostle. And so you have to keep that in mind. So somewhere along the way, Judas, even though we don't have a record of it, he was following just like Peter and everybody else. And then they made a transfer over to Jesus. Now turn to the book of Luke chapter 6. Just turn a page. And just note the beginning of verse 13. "Because I submit unto you that they were followers of John, then they became followers of Jesus." In verse 13 it says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." Jesus had disciples, and he calls his disciples unto him. Now what this does is this brings us to the third point of my message, as I demonstrate a tale of these two men. I'm talking about Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. They were followers of John. They became followers of Jesus. Now here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 13 through verse 16, both of these guys, both were called from among his own disciples to become apostles. Look at verse 13. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter," there's our first one of the characters we're talking about, "and Andrew his brother, and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James," and notice the last apostle listed in this list, "and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor." And so you see the steps very clear, don't you? Now certainly, now we see these two guys, same background, same experience, coming to follow after Jesus, being called of Jesus to be apostles. My fourth point of the message is that both of these guys, as apostles, followed after Jesus. That only makes sense, doesn't it? Turn over to Luke chapter 9. As apostles, they both walked with, they both talked with, they both learned of him. That's what they did. The apostles followed Jesus around. They sat at his feet. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. They were instructed in private. And so they received, they heard the public ministry, and they were personally instructed by Jesus Christ. Judas and Peter were apostles of the Lord. Now, as apostles, and I certainly don't want to give you all the information that the Bible contains for us of what the apostles did. There's no reason to do that, but I've chosen to do one thing, and you've looked in Luke chapter 9, and I just want you to see that both of these guys were sent as apostles to minister. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 1, we read, "Then he called his 12 disciples together," that's the apostles, "and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." What do you see? Well, go turn back to the book of Mark chapter 6, because I just want to follow up on this thought. What do you find? There was a time in Jesus' ministry where he called the 12 apostles whom he had chosen, brought them in, and said, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power. Now, who are two of those people? Judas Iscariot, Simon Peter. And so we read in the text that he gave them authority to cure diseases, to cast out demons. You know that Judas Iscariot, you say, well, he was the traitor. He was a devil from the beginning. Well, that may be, but he was granted authority. Granted authority to heal people, to raise up the sick, and to cast out demons, and to preach. Now, do you think he did the ministry of an apostle? Do you think he fulfilled the ministry? I believe that he did. I believe that Peter did. Both of them did indeed minister. They were sent forth. Mark chapter 6. I'm going to direct your attention to verse 12. This is the latter part. Here it says, and they were going to be sent out, and it says, and they went out and preached that men should, notice, repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Jesus says, I'm going to give you this power. I'm going to give you this authority. And he sent them out, and what'd they do? They did exactly what they were told to do. And so they went out and traveled through Israel. And so as apostles, I just submit unto you, they followed Jesus. It's not that Judas was left home now, and oh well, we don't like him, and so Jesus kept him separate. He was an apostle. You remember down at the end when Jesus was at the supper, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. They had no idea who it was. It wasn't like Judas went around with a sign saying, I'm the betrayer. You know, I'm the one who's going to deceive and I've tricked you all and I'm going to betray Jesus Christ. They didn't have any clue. Do you know why? Because he did everything just like everybody else did. You couldn't tell them apart. They were co-laborers, and as apostles, they followed Jesus Christ. So, of course, you know that they had an ensuing ministry all the time that they followed after the Lord Jesus Christ as apostles. And we know that Jesus ministered for 3.5 years, and then it came down to the time of the end where Jesus was going to be crucified. And so his time had come up. What about these two guys? Now, there are great similarities between Simon Peter and Judas Iscariot, aren't there? I mean, all the way through. You really couldn't even tell them apart too much, can you? Now, God knew the difference, but nobody else did. And here's where we find a tragic similarity between these guys and yet a marked difference between them. And so, I trust you've understood the information I've given you to show the similarities and the comparisons all the way through. Now, both of these guys, and you have to keep this in mind, both of them denied and betrayed Jesus. Now, I understand that Judas's betrayal was a denial. And I understand that Peter's denial was a betrayal, although the betrayal was not to the same extent as Judas. But what you have is these two guys, very similar, very common, shared experiences, come down to the end, right when Jesus, the night before Jesus is going to be crucified, and of course, what do you have? Both of these guys turn against the Savior. Both of them deny and betray Him. Let's think about Judas first of all. And so to do that, go back to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Both of these guys betrayed and denied Jesus. So Matthew chapter 26, thinking about Judas primarily to begin with, and then we'll look at Peter. I'm going to look at the action of Judas and his response. What takes place? Matthew chapter 26, pick it up in verse 14. We have an account here that says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So he makes his contract to deliver up Jesus. Look down to verse 47. They were in the garden. And it says in verse 47, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. So what's the action? What do we see? This guy who began with John, transferred to Jesus, followed through his ministry, gets down to the end, he betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, takes the crowd out into the garden in the middle of the night, and kisses Jesus like he's a friend. In another place, Jesus says, "Betrayest thou me with a kiss?" Can you imagine those words, how it would have had to speak to him in some degree? And so that's the action of Judas. He betrayed the Lord. But how did he respond to this now? Of course, Jesus was arrested, and he was tried, and he was condemned. How did Judas respond to this? Chapter 27, book of Matthew, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, that is, Jesus was condemned to death, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." They said unto him, "What is it that to us? See thou to that." He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And what did he do? And went and hanged himself. And so we see these two guys, they go all along, and Judas denies the Lord. How does he resolve his problem? Goes out and hangs himself. Now what about the Apostle Peter? What kind of action did he bring forth? Back in chapter 26, book of Matthew, you're right there. Look back in verse 69. Now Jesus had been arrested, of course. You keep that in mind. And so it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." And so we find here, what happened? Peter denies the Lord, just like Jesus said that he would, but he denied him three times. He really has betrayed Jesus, hasn't he? Betrayed his confidence. Betrayed all the ministry that he's been permitted to do. Gets down the end, the pressure's too much, and he denies that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the action of the Apostle Peter. Now, what was his response? Look in the very next verse, verse 75. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. And of course, if you follow through the scriptures, you know that he was with the remaining 10. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he went to the sepulcher, and he was in the upper room, and he was at Galilee and all that. But you find him over in the book of Acts in chapter 2, don't you? Where, here's Peter on the great day of Pentecost, because Jesus said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And so they elected a new apostle to take Judas's place. The day of Pentecost came, and in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 14 it says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Where do you find Peter on the day of Pentecost? He's right in the midst. He's the primary speaker. He stands up and begins to teach and preach about Jesus. Talk about two entirely different results. Two different responses. You have Judas Iscariot, who denies the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes out and hangs himself. You have Peter, who denies the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he do? He goes out and weeps bitterly, and he's changed. I mean, there's a difference in him. He knew what he had done, but that didn't shake him. He was still there. He stayed with the apostles, and he was the primary spokesman on the day of Pentecost. And of course, we know he was an apostle to the Jews and ministered for many, many years. Boy, two men. Very great in common in many, many things. But down at the end, a great contrast. So in conclusion, I would like to concern ourselves with this for just a moment. Both betrayed and denied the Lord. But what made the difference? I just showed you the action of Judas and his response. I showed you Peter's action and his response. What made the difference? Well, back in the book of Matthew chapter 27, where we're reading about Judas Iscariot, what we find are some words that's translated into the English, and it's a single word in the original text. But those English words where it says he repented himself. Judas knew that he had done wrong. He still had a conscience after all. I mean, he was still a human being. He knew right from wrong. He had the law of God written in his heart. He had heard John preach. He had heard Jesus teach and preach. Saw all the good that he did. After he betrayed him and saw that he was condemned, the scripture says he repented himself. Now that word means to change one's judgment on past points of conduct. It is to repent. It is to regret. The interlinear, which is a Greek with an English translation, had translated it, having regretted it. Instead of the King James saying that he repented himself. So what had happened was, here's Judas saw what was going on, he regretted his actions. But when you see, and I make the distinction here because he had regret. And you know, people can have regret, but not truly repent. The word repent is a different word when we think about repentance unto salvation. It's a different Greek term than what's being expressed here. And it really talks about a change in heart, a change in mind. You know, you can regret a lot of things and still have the same heart. And you regret you got caught. You regret that that might have been the result, or you have to suffer through it. And you might have repented yourself about that, but you didn't really repent because your heart's still the same. Does that make sense to you? Now, here's Judas. The thing is he repented himself. And his response to this was, he was so overwhelmed with grief and guilt that he chose to escape that guilt by committing suicide. So he went out and hung himself. That was the way he handled it. Really, it was because he didn't have much alternative. You know, what else was there to comfort him? I'm going to remind you that Judas himself really never was converted. Now, I said as I talked about Judas and him following after John and him following after Jesus and being an apostle that you couldn't tell any difference. Well, no, you couldn't. But, of course, God knew the difference. Jesus knew the difference. And as a matter of fact, Jesus had said, and you're certainly welcome to turn over to the book of John, in John chapter 6 and in verse 70, Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, here's the scripture, Jesus answered them, and here's his words, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" You see that? Now, Judas tricked everybody, but he didn't trick Jesus. Jesus intentionally chose him. Now, the word devil here is the word diablos. You think of it in that sense. The word means a false accuser, one who is a slanderer. He was a traitor. If you look over into John chapter 12, as a matter of fact, Judas was so well thought of among the apostles that he was the treasurer of the group. And in John chapter 12 and verse 6, we have this statement about him, however. "This he said, not because that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that was what was put therein." And so Judas, even though he was a treasurer, he was a thief stealing from the money that the apostles had brought in. And the people that had given, and so forth. And what all this does to me is it shows to me, Jesus saying that he was a devil from the beginning, it just demonstrates to me the guy was never saved. He followed after John and he heard some things, but it never made a difference in his heart. Well, he followed John. He was baptized by John, but no change in heart. When Jesus came on the scene, he followed after Jesus. No change in heart. Jesus chose him to be an apostle. He's a devil. No change in heart. And he was a thief. I mean, I showed his character, quality traits. Then when he gets down to the end, what's he do? He denies the Lord Jesus Christ, betrays him under the chief priest to where he can be put to death. And you say, but wait a minute, he repented himself. He just regretted his decision. There was no change of heart, no change of mind, and as a result, he goes out and hangs himself. Because he just couldn't deal with it any other way. Now, on the other hand, and I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. On the other hand, what about old Peter? This is a tale of two men, isn't it? We've seen Judas Iscariot. Now we want to think about Simon Peter. as opposed to this. They both denied the Lord. They both betrayed the Lord. But the difference was, you know what? Judas just wasn't converted. Judas wasn't a real Christian. On the other hand, we also see and read in the Scriptures that Peter also knew that he had done wrong and that he was guilty. And the Scripture said that he went out and wept bitterly. You know what that means in the Greek? Wept bitterly. How much is that? It's easy, isn't it? We know what that means. He was so overcome and grief-stricken because of that. And he went out and wept bitterly. I believe there were tears of repentance. I believe he was really getting things right with God. God, I denied you. I turned against you. I said I never would. I'm so shameful. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please restore me and all that. How do I know that he was responding properly? I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 22 because Jesus, when speaking to Peter about the fact that he was going to betray him, Jesus tells him this. Verse 31, Luke 22. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, notice, that thy faith fail not. Jesus recognizes that he has faith. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I don't want you to get excited there and say, well, the Bible says he was converted so that he was saved. He was saved, he lost his salvation, he was saved again. No, that's not that it at all. He changed. There was a difference. Judas, what'd he do? He regretted, well, hung himself. Peter, he wept bitterly. There was a change in his heart, change in his life, because he recognized that he had really failed God miserably. But I tell you, Peter was saved. Peter was saved before that, and Peter was saved during that, and he was still saved after that. And so when Jesus says, when you're converted, it's just a matter of, you're going to fail me, but when things are made right, then you do what you need to do. And of course, we find that's exactly what he did. I'm going to invite you to turn to one other place because I want to demonstrate to you very clearly that I believe the Scripture makes it abundantly evident to us that Peter was a Christian. Matthew chapter 16, and then you can relax turning to places. Matthew chapter 16. I want to point you out to verse 15 through verse 17. Jesus raised up the question. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Notice. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I'll tell you, that's who he is. That's who he still is. He is the anointed. He is the true Messiah. He is the Son of God. Jesus answered, verse 17, and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you know what that tells me? Did Peter really know who Jesus was? Absolutely. He believed he was the Christ. He believed that he was the Son of God. He believed he was the Savior. They said, will you go away? He said, to whom shall we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so what you see here is the difference between these guys. Is that Judas wasn't converted, but Peter was. And that's one of the reasons why at the end, Judas chose his departure and Peter chose his response. And the results that came out of all that. A tale of two men, right? Well, let me give you five quick lessons and I'm going to be done. This is my conclusion. Five quick lessons. I'm just going to enumerate them to you. Number one, a person may be interested and pursue religion but not have a relationship with Jesus. That can happen. It happened to Judas. Number two, shared experiences do not guarantee a relationship. So your parents come to church, they took you to church, you've been in church all your life, that's all you've ever known, you just kind of drifted right into that. Well, do you have a relationship? That's what makes the difference, not the shared experience. Judas and Peter had a shared experience all along. Judas was not converted. Peter was. Number three, those with a true relationship are not perfect. We know that by looking at Peter, and of course we know that by looking at ourselves. We're not perfect. And we're still found to be sinners. However, we're sinners saved by grace. Aren't you glad, though you still sin, you're forgiven, you're washed in the blood, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know why? Because he saved you. He gave you eternal life. You're his child. You're no longer an enemy. You're a friend. And so, but still, even though we're Christians, We're not perfect. Peter's an example of that. Number four, the core difference among men is whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus. That's true today as it was then. Still true. Among all the people of this earth, the difference between us is either they have a relationship with Jesus or they don't. Not talking about religion. We're not talking about all kinds of stuff. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then number five, to have a relationship with the Lord, you must, I believe, according to the Scriptures, you must be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You must be drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. You must recognize and accept the truth about yourself, your sin, and the matter of salvation. And then you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe the Scripture teaches. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? What I've attempted to show you today was some information about these two guys. And we have a tale of two men. They had similar backgrounds, shared experience, and even a common profession of Christianity. They both appeared to be what they said they were. They both even failed in a similar degree. Yet we know there was a drastic difference between the two. The difference being, Peter was a true believer in Jesus Christ, while Judas was never born again. Which are you today? Which are you? Are you truly born again? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Or are you as Judas, going through the motions, sharing experiences, but never been saved? I point you to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And He changed me. He can change you. And if you're changed, you know the difference in your life. And you know what He has wrought in your heart. And you rejoice over that. So I'd like for us to stand and sing, "Brother Paul, would you please come? Learn some lessons from the tale of these two men." Let's stand. And the invitation simply is this, right where you are. If you're lost, we pray that God would speak to your heart, draw you, convict you, and bring you to a place of repentance and faith that you'd truly be saved today. And if you're saved, you'd rejoice in the salvation you have. And you know what? If you do fall like Peter did, deny the Lord or any other kind of thing, you can still ask God to forgive you and make things right, can't you? So you can still follow the Lord even after that. Peter did. So can you. So don't give up. May the Lord bless you. Father, bless your word according to your will. Speak to every heart, saving the lost and strengthening the saved. I pray that you would take those things which I've said and let them not hear them as my words but as yours. And that, God, you'll make a difference in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?
Number 438. 438.